God's grace to you and happy Thanksgiving. I am so thankful that you're here today because we're here to give praise to God. What a fitting thing to do for us on this day and really every day because it's always fitting to enter into God's courts with Thanksgiving. So let's talk today for a few minutes about what God tells us in the scriptures about giving thanks, about entering his courts with Thanksgiving. To whom do we give thanks? Why do we give thanks? For what should we give thanks? And a secret about the power of Thanksgiving. Let's take a look at that today. First, to whom should we give thanks? You tell me. Yeah, we should give thanks to each other as well whenever there's the need for that and, it's a fitting. But especially to God. Let's open up the Bible. God tells us this to refresh our hearts in it. He says in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that Jehovah is God. It is he that made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Do you bless his name today? Yes. And why should we give thanks to God and to enter into his courts with such praise and thanks? Next line. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Has God been good to you? The Bible says in the book of James that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. You know, everything that we have in life that's good came from him. God says in the Bible that Jesus says that God the Father up above, where he is above the firmament on his throne, he makes his son to rise on the good and on the evil, on the just and on the unjust. He is so perfect. He is so pure. He is so good that everything he does, he's even pouring his blessings down upon those who don't give thanks to him, but especially also upon those who do. In the book of Acts, Paul is preaching, remember, to the Athenians, to the Greeks, and he says, God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. He doesn't need anything from you. But he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. So, are you guys breathing today? Are you alive, Dick? Go like this. God gave you that breath. He gives to all men life. He gives to all men breath. He gives to all men everything they have. Everything good that we have comes from the Lord. So what do you give thanks to God for today? Name something. Your breath. What else? Salvation. Your family. For life. Salvation. For salvation. Church. All these great things. God, we're lifting these up to you in this message. And a great inspiration for us, I think, to help spark our direction in giving thanks is something Luther wrote here in his explanation of the Apostles' Creed. Let's just put it in the form of thanksgiving, and we'll offer it up to God as we go. You know, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. For what should we give thanks in this? We give thanks that, God, you made me. I'm put together by you, and you made all the creatures in their wondrous variety. You've given me my body, you've given me my soul, you've given me my eyes and my ears and all my senses. God, you've given me my reason, and you still every day take care of them. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you've given me clothing and shoes. I'm glad I have something to wear today. I thank you, God, for food and drink, which we'll enjoy, for our houses, for homes to be in, for our wife and husband, children and lands, and animals, everything we have. And God, it's so rich that you daily provide for me everything I need to support my body and life. And God, we thank you that you protect us, again, defend us against all danger, and guard and protect us from all evil, and especially the evil one. Oh God, you're our Father. And it's not because we've done anything good, but because of your fatherly divine goodness, God, that you've done all these things to us, and we give you thanks for these things today. Amen?
Amen.
Say Say it like you mean it. Amen. Amen. Second one is Jesus Christ. God, we give you thanks that he's your only son and he came to save us. God, we give you thanks for Jesus because he is God who has visited us in human flesh. God, we give you thanks that he's begotten from you from all eternity, and he so loved the world as to come down to redeem each and every one of us, to redeem me, a lost and condemned person. And we thank you, God, that he purchased us. We thank God that Jesus bought us with his own precious blood, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You are forgiven today. You are redeemed through Jesus Christ. If you've believed in him and come into him, there's no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? You are white as snow. You are free. You are forgiven that you might serve him in innocence, blessedness, and joy forever. He's made you his own. He's put you into his kingdom, and he rejoices in you forever. And on the last day, he's going to raise you from the dead. God, we give thanks to you for this. And we give thanks to God, thirdly, for the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, even if Jesus died for you, you're not going to get saved, because it's the Holy Spirit who takes that gospel, that saving work of Christ on that cross, and brings it to you. He carries it to you. We give thanks to you, God, that it's not by our own reason. It's not because we were great. It's not because we could come to you, God, of our own strength. We were dead in our trespasses. But you loved us, God, anyway. And you sent Jesus, and then you sent the Holy Spirit to carry Jesus' salvation to us. You preached to us the gospel, O Holy Spirit, through the preachers. You then brought us faith in the gospel, justified us. Say, I'm justified. Say, I am sanctified. These come through the Holy Spirit. And God, we give you thanks for bringing us into such a mighty salvation. And we thank you, God, that every day your Holy Spirit daily applies the gospel to us richly, and every day abundantly forgives all our sins and the sins of all your people in your church, the Christians. And that on the last day, the Holy Spirit, God, he's going to raise us from the dead, and we're going to live forever in a raised, immortal, changed, glorified body by the power which enables God even to subject all things to himself. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, we give thanks to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all these good gifts. Now, when do you think we should give thanks to God? It's good we're doing it today. When should you give thanks to God, Jeff? I'm calling on you again because you're sitting in the front row. Huh? Without ceasing. Exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's good to set aside certain times to give thanks to God. That's fantastic. And don't forget to do it out loud. It's one thing to say it in your mind, and that's good. But to say it out loud and with a shout, remember, it's by the shout that the walls of Jericho came down. Give it out with a shout, loud songs of praise. But we should give thanks, like you say, in all times, in all circumstances, in the good and in the bad, in the sunshine and the rain, in the prosperity, in the times of trouble. We should give thanks to God after he blesses us, and we should give thanks to God before he answers us. Do you do that? Let's think about that for a moment. This is what I alluded to earlier, the secret of thanksgiving. Do you ever give thanks to God before? Sometimes we forget to give thanks to God after he saves and helps us. Hopefully you give thanks after, but how about before he saves you? Is that in the Bible? Let's take a look. Whoops. At John chapter 6. See if we can find it. This is the story where Jesus is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and multitudes are coming to him. 5,000 people. And he tests the disciples. How are we to buy bread, Art, that these people may eat? Putting in the disciples. Well, even if we worked most of the year, we wouldn't even get enough to give each of them a little. Make the people sit down, Jesus says. And then we read this. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish, remember? And when he had given thanks, say thanks.
Yes.
When he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And that was a miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people, miracle. But, Sarah, when did Jesus give thanks? Before or after the miracle? Before the miracle. Before it even happened, there was thanksgiving being offered up to God by Christ. Is that a secret for us? When he was testing the disciples and said, how are we to buy bread that these people may eat? I think he was testing them. Are you going to give thanks to God before? Or are you just going to wonder and be afraid and nervous and anxious and how are we going to do this crazy thing and what a terrible situation we're in and it's impossible? Well, give thanks was what he was hoping they were going to look for. The crowd didn't give thanks. The disciples didn't give thanks. Jesus gave thanks. And here, you got to get this. When the thanks go up, the power comes down. Because we read that everybody ate and they were satisfied and he gave thanks before the miracle came. Is that something you could put into practice in your life? Are you in trouble today? Are you in some sort of difficulty in a dire situation? Something that's really bothering you? Well, I'll give thanks to God after I get saved and help from it because then I'll feel good. If you wait till you feel good, you're probably never going to give thanks. Wait, well, hopefully you will feel good. But give thanks before you get saved out of whatever it is. And that is so beautiful to God. That's just like it connects the electrical wires and he's just like, oh, that's lovely. That is faith. Look over here at Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This is a key here. Jesus says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Do you notice that? The difference in the tenses there? Pray before you get saved, believe that you already received it, and it shall be given to you. It shall be yours. What better way to do that, I put forward to you, than to give thanks in your situation. Say, God, I thank you in the middle of this situation for such and such. That's believing that you've already received it. And God has the discretion to give to you whatever answer is best for you. But even as you give thanks, already the clouds are lifting. Because if you're giving thanks to God, even if you're in trouble, how are you going to be sad for long? How are you going to be in despair and despondent and depressed and discouraged? When you start giving thanks, or when I start giving thanks in a situation that's tough, guess what? Courage starts coming into me. Confidence starts coming into me. Peace comes into me, and most especially, joy. And thanksgiving, it's like it's taking the blinders off and opening my eyes to the fact that God is with me and things are not as bad as I thought they were in the first place. Thanksgiving has the power to open your eyes. So give thanks before. It's no better, greater way to say to God, I believe, God, that you've heard me, that you see what I'm going through, and you've already answered me even before I see it come. When the praise goes up and the thanks, the power comes down. Is that the only time we ever see this in the Bible? What do you think? What's the answer to that one, Cheryl? No, because you know I don't go just 10 minutes. I got to go a little longer. So let's add a few others to that one. Let's go to John chapter 11. This is even more difficult than feeding 5,000 people. Because here someone is dead. Lazarus. He's in the tomb. And, you know, they're like, hey, it's going to be an order. Don't open the tomb. He's been dead 4 days. Didn't I tell you that if you'd believe, you would see the glory of God, says Jesus. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but I've said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me. And notice what it says, Father, I thank thee. Was Lazarus out of the tomb yet, Vivian? Was there a dead man still sitting in that grave? Art? But he was giving thanks even before he saw anything happen. He gave thanks beforehand. And as soon as he gave thanks, "Lazarus, come out!" And out came the dead man. And they said, "Unbind him and let him go." But notice once again, Sonia, the thanks goes up first, and then the power comes down, and out comes a dead man. You can look over there in the Old Testament. In the days of Jehoshaphat, the king, they are surrounded by enemy armies, such that they are as many as the sand of the sea. There's no way they can win this fight. Who does the king, Jehoshaphat, send out ahead of his army? Flanking guards, scouts, the special forces? No! He sends out these. He says, when he'd taken counsel of the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array as they went before the army, and to say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Can you just picture that? They're going to fight an unwinnable battle. And he says, here's the first people that are going to go out. Bring some trumpets with you. Start singing in praise. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The thanks go up, and what do we see? And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. They gave thanks and praise to God, and the power came down. Do you think there's something in your life you could do that with today? Are you facing some enemy army that's as many as the sands of the sea, and you can't win, and there's no way you can fight this battle? When the praise and thanks goes up first, the power comes down in response, because it's almost like a beautiful electrical connection. You know, if I do something nice for you and you don't give me thanks, or vice versa, you know, that would really kind of dampen our relationship. But if you give thanks, and even before, trusting I'm going to give you something, then I'm just so excited I want to give you even more than you asked for, because that's just enlivening and electric and beautiful. So also with God. Jonah gave thanks in the belly of the whale, and the fish spit him out on dry land. Paul and Silas were in prison, and they're in fetters, and they've been beaten up, and they're in that dank, dark cell. We read, though, in Acts 16 that they were giving thanks to God and singing praises to his name, and then the whole earth began to quake. Their fetters were loosened, and they came out of prison, and they saved the jailer, and the next day they were free men. When the thanks go up first in the middle of trouble, then the power comes down especially powerfully. You can do the same in your life. And even if God has an answer for you, maybe that you weren't expecting, think about it. Paul asked the Lord three times, "Remove this thorn from my flesh, Lord. It's hurting me." But God's answer was, "Paul, you need this one. My power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul is like, "Hey, that was a better answer than I even asked for when I was asking of my own. God gave me even better. And now I give thanks to him that his power is made perfect in my weakness." So, you going to give thanks today? Let's put it into a practice and make it a habit in our lives. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. It has power in it. And it is all about a relationship, because it's about being close with our God. You can't give to God anything really but thanksgiving. He has everything. But if you give him thanks, it brings Father and Son, King and his knights, close together in a beautiful, electric, joyful, bright relationship, especially when you give thanks to him in your trouble. So we'll conclude with these two verses there from the Psalms. One is, "My God will meet me." Let's see. It says this, "My God in his steadfast love will meet me. My God will let me look in triumph on my enemies." That's Psalm 59. And Psalm 30, I'll put it in the future. It says, "For you, God, will turn for me my mourning into dancing. You will loose my sackcloth, and you will gird me with gladness, that my soul may praise thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to thee forever." In Jesus' name, amen.